Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we will learn more about an incredible gem located in Astoria, but a legendary and nationally renowned facility, a museum, an interactive living, breathing facility called the Columbia River Maritime Museum. Since 1962, it has been providing amazing experiences for students with through learning programs. The history of the Columbia River is right there. It's much more than boats. And today I have the executive director, Bruce Jones, with me. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Donna. Pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm really glad because there's a lot going on with the museum. There are some new things happening that we want to let the community know about and the world at large. So before we talk about the Maritime Museum, though, for those listeners who aren't familiar with you, of course, you were the mayor of Astoria and you've done many, many things. But please let the listening audience know a little bit more about Bruce Jones.
Okay, sure. I grew up in Virginia and after college, joined the Coast Guard through Officer Candidate School, served in the Coast Guard for 30 years on the Gulf Coast, East Coast, and Great Lakes, mostly as a helicopter pilot and a few tours at our Coast Guard headquarters doing strategic planning. And then I managed to get a wonderful assignment to Astoria for the last 3 years of my 30 years as the sector commander of Sector Columbia River and the commander of Coast Guard Air Station Astoria. And retired from the Coast Guard in 2014 and went to work for the Columbia River Bar Pilots for about 2.5 years as a helicopter pilot, taking bar pilots out to the ships and back. And then during that time, ran for city council, and Dave Pearson left the deputy director job at the Maritime Museum. And I was fortunate enough to be hired as deputy director 6.5 years ago. And I've worked here ever since. And then Sam Johnson has just retired. I've become the executive director on January 1st, and I'm thrilled about some really great projects we have coming up over the next few years.
And Bruce, under your watch, there are lots of things going on. And I asked you before we went live, what is your favorite part of the museum? And why don't you just tell the listening audience what you said, because I loved what you said.
Well, of course, we have wonderful exhibits, and I could pick out the ones I love, but what I like best is just stretching my legs during the day and walking through the galleries and seeing our visitors enjoying themselves. So whether it's young kids running around, having a great time, doing the simulated weather broadcast, or going onto the destroyer of the bridge of the destroyer USS Knapp and turning the ship's wheel, or just adults that are reading some of the interpretive panels and pointing to things and just having a good time. I just like seeing people in our museum enjoying themselves.
And there you are, right on the Columbia River, on the, you know, graveyard of the Pacific, with all of the history and the information that is there, that is ongoing. And today, actually, the Lightship Columbia has been closed, but today it's opening.
Yeah, Lightship is back open. We had it closed for almost 2 weeks. We had a little damage to our gangway after those huge gales that we had on around the time of the ice storm a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. We had 5-foot seas on the Columbia River from the northwest, and then a few days later from the northeast, and the ship bounced around a bit and banged up the gangway. But that's repaired, and we're back open to the public again from 11 to 3 today. 11 to 3 is our normal opening time for the Lightship, and that's due to volunteer staffing. And eventually, if we get enough new volunteers, we would love to be able to open it a little bit more and have more engine room tours. Those interested in volunteering, we always want to talk to you. volunteer@crmm.org will take you to Susie, our volunteer coordinator.
Awesome. That's great. So, Bruce, let's step back a little bit and let's talk a teeny bit about the history of the Columbia River Maritime Museum. So in 1962, it opened, and it now boasts the largest collection of Pacific Northwest maritime artifacts in the country. So let's talk about the history and how the museum has grown, because, you know, the Barbie Center was redone, all of that.
Yeah. So under Jerry, well, this building opened in 1982, so a little over 40 years ago, and that was really fulfilling the vision of our founder, who is Rolf Klepp, a famed illustrator. If you Google Rolf Klepp illustrations, you'll see the wonderful illustrations he did in the major magazines of the day in the 1940s and 50s, and he always had a dream to open a museum, a maritime museum in Astoria. And then under Jerry Ostemiller's tenure, he was the executive director for 20 years. So he did a major remodel in 2002. And that's when the 44-footer display was installed. And that's, of course, the thing everyone sees from the road and sees from the river trail. It really draws people in. It's that wonderful Coast Guard motor lifeboat that's up at a pitched angle in a simulated rescue. And we added on the store and our new entrance lobby and also the administrative spaces. And then since then, we've had the additional growth of a remodeling, complete restoration of the old Astoria Train Depot, which is now the Barbee Maritime Center that we use for classrooms, adult education, and community events. We acquired the North Coast Auto property when Mr. Renault decided to retire, and we built the Warnock Commons and Model Boat Pond, which is open to the public 24/7 for use as just a place to sit and enjoy, eat your lunch, or to race model boats. A lot of people bring remote control boats there. When Astoria Builder Supply became available about a little over 10 years ago, we were able to acquire that and turn that into our collection storage warehouses. So we have a boat warehouse and an artifact warehouse where we can keep these wonderful things that have been donated to us from members of the public that relate to the great history of the Columbia River and maritime heritage of the Pacific Northwest. And additionally, let's see what else. So they hit the Barbee Center of the pond, the collection storage. I think that covers most of the major growth we've had in the last 20 years.
However, it's not just all of these amazing artifacts in the museum. It's all these programs you're offering. Let's talk a little bit about that. You have lecture series, you have things for children, you have an upcoming watercolor class. I mean, let's talk a little bit about what are some of the outreach programs and some of the other things the Maritime Museum does.
Yeah, we consider our educational programs and community outreach every bit as important as our exhibits and in the museum itself. So we reach well over 15,000 kids every year, 10,000 kids in schools throughout Northwest Oregon and Southwest Washington. Our educator goes out and teaches class and, you know, relieves the teachers for an hour to do programs all over this region. And we also bring an additional 5,000 plus kids into the school every year through field trips and other organized activity, not including just visits by kids that aren't part of an organized activity, all kinds of programs. We set up a water tank for several months of the year where we do remotely operated vehicle programs for school groups. That's very exciting. We do shark dissections where we get sharks donated to us from Fish and Wildlife or from the aquarium. And we'll have a program where the kids get to dissect the shark and learn all kinds of things about anatomy and life cycles of marine life. We have a simulated whale necropsy. We just had one of those the other day. It's about a 45-foot long simulated whale with all of the major organs and bone structures, and the kids get to do a necropsy on a whale, and just all kinds of educational programs. We're really trying to get kids interested in the science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, the STEAM subject areas, you know, to realize there's all kinds of great careers out there if they can get interested in those things. And we try to just make it fun for them and hope that later on they'll develop some interest. And of course, maritime jobs are going begging. There's a real graying of the workforce in the maritime world. And whether it's towboat companies or shipping lines, there's all kinds of maritime careers out there that we hope kids will be interested in as a result of visiting the museum. And we've got lots of success stories. We had a partnership between one of our volunteers, Doug Taylor, a retired Marine engineer, did a work-based learning agreement with the Job Corps Seamanship Program right there at Tongue Point. And Doug was helping some of these students learn skills in the engine room of the Columbia. They were helping us work on the Columbia. And one of those young men sailed by a couple of weeks ago on a local towboat, and Doug called me to say, "Look out your window, that's Eduardo sailing by." He now has a great job in the maritime industry. So we hope to make those connections for the people that visit the museum as well.
What a wonderful investment in young people and to help people realize that what kind of careers actually can exist in the maritime industry. Let's talk a little bit about funding and how you all function. Obviously, we hope everybody listening is a member of the Columbia River Maritime Museum, because membership not only supports this incredible resource here in the Pacific Northwest and in Astoria, but it also allows you to have all kinds of access to different programs and opportunities that come up throughout the year. So you have memberships, you clearly are getting grants, you're working with organizations, and you decided that you needed to expand. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. And in terms of funding, of course, we don't get any federal or state funding for our ongoing operations. We have been fortunate enough to get some federal and state grants for major projects like the dry dock of the Lightship. But our revenue day to day, it's 70% visitor related. So it's admissions tickets, it's membership, it's store sales, it's the 3D film theater. And then, of course, we do have an endowment, which contributes about 9% of our annual revenue. And then it's some other assorted forms of revenue that we get. But we really, it's about the visitors. It's about people wanting to be part of the museum, wanting to visit, wanting to be a member, wanting to give us donations, wanting to remember us in their estate planning or in their wills, which we get from time to time, which is wonderful. But as far as our expansion, yeah, let's talk about that. I mentioned the two warehouses we have across the street for our boat collections and our artifact storage. And we realized in our strategic planning process 5 years ago that we really wanted to get those things out to the public to fulfill our mission. It's not enough to preserve wonderful historic boats, which is it's a service that we're happy to provide to preserve these boats, but we want people to see them and enjoy them. And we had the opportunity with a major gift from one of our trustees, very generous gift, to actually get the process started to say, what would that look like? How can we expand our facility? And we've, after a couple of years of extensive site analysis with some professionals, we've decided to build a new building, a new exhibition and education hall. It's called Mariners Hall. And it's 24,500 square feet, about 20,000 square feet on the ground floor and 4,500 square feet on a partial second floor in mezzanine. It's going to be located in the middle of what's currently our parking lot, sort of between the building now and where the Peacock pilot boat is. But it's going to be a wonderful, engaging, interactive visitor experience. We're going to have a dedicated purpose-built classroom for the first time. Currently, our educators have to bounce between from room to room, depending on what room is available on any given day. And we're going to design and build a classroom just for our education department. And that will be heavily utilized and it'll really enable them to deliver inspiring, engaging program to kids very efficiently and effectively and get more kids through the door and enjoying our programs. We're going to have an interactive STEAM space where we'll have interactive hands-on exhibits in the science, technology, engineering, arts, and math area. So we're very excited about that. We're working with the Chevron Shipping Company to potentially get some artifacts from them that might be useful in that STEAM space. I think it'll be really eye-opening to people to see how modern ships really work, whether it's equipment from the engine room or other parts of the ship. And we're gonna have some just really fascinating vessels on display, but we're really focusing on the Mariner. So we don't want to just have boats sitting on the floor. We want to have engaging experiences that people can relate to. So a type of boat most people around here don't know about is the log bronc. The log bronc was a very heavy duty cast iron almost boat that was used on the river to corral logs and push them into log rafts or push them into the mill ponds. And we're going to have one of those on display and you'll be able to get on it. It'll move. And we'll have a film running that's showing logs being pushed together on the river the way it used to be here in our local industry. So that's a way for us to really show the connection between the maritime and the timber industry, which, of course, is a big part of our heritage and our history here. We're going to have several really important historic boats that were built in Astoria, the Duke, which is a salmon tender built in 1902 at Astoria's Wilson Brothers Shipyards. It was used on the Columbia River for decades. Lots of local people here still remember being on the Duke, either working on it when it was a salmon tender or later on when it was used to ferry people around the river and transport goods around the river. And so people will be able to go aboard the Duke inside the new museum building. They'll have a video projected on the glass in the wheelhouse showing a scene on the river so you feel like you're underway. We're going to have a Coast Guard search and rescue helicopter that's being decommissioned in the next few years. That'll be on display. That'll be a very lifelike scenario of a search and rescue mission with the rescue swimmer coming down on the cable. And we'll have a boat from one of the local boatyards that's been abandoned. We're going to turn that abandoned boat into a capsized boat in the floor of the museum to simulate a rescue environment. We're going to have, for those who have seen the movie Boys in the Boat or read the book Boys in the Boat, wonderful story, of course. And we're going to have one of those 60-foot long George Pocock racing shells built by George Pocock up in Washington. We'll have that on display. We'll have a Pacific City dory. So some of you have seen the videos of how they launch those dories off the beach in Pacific City to go fishing. It's a very, you know, very localized fishing industry. We're going to have one of those dories going through the surf inside the building, and lots more. So really our goal is to, again, not just have boats sitting on the floor, but to have boats with people in them telling a story that anyone can relate to and kind of feel the joy of the waterfront and the, you know, the excitement and the passion that people that work on the water feel. People that build boats, people that sail boats, people that work on boats or maintain them. We're really trying to bring that passion to everyone. And we are, you know, we're a maritime nation, we're a maritime region. For some people, they don't really see that connection. And we're trying to display that connection for people to make them feel that same passion.
So more storytelling in Mariners Hall, and it is all about the stories, the objects themselves, and then the people. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're talking with the executive director of the Columbia River Maritime Museum in Astoria, Oregon, about their brand new expansion to the Mariners Hall project. And you can help that by becoming a member. There are also wonderful opportunities to volunteer. As you learn more about it, you're going to want to be engaged with this. So you're planning on what? This is a three-year project, Bruce. When are you planning on, where are you with Mariners Hall right at the moment?
So we're in the design phase. We've actually submitted our design package to the city and expect to go to the Historic Landmarks Commission and Design Review Commission in March for approval. And we'll make whatever adjustments are required by the city. But we've been working closely with city staff, and we feel like we have a pretty good package right now that'll comply with all the requirements of the city and our needs as well. And then we intend to break ground in September. It'll be about 16 months of construction led by our local general contractor construction manager, Rickenbach Construction. We're really proud to be using a local general contractor and using local subcontractors to the greatest extent possible for this project. But the boat building or the Mariners Hall building should be complete at the end of 2025. And then we'll need another 6 months to install all the exhibits. So we hope to open by the summer of 2026. That's the goal. So really seems like a long way off, but actually it's a pretty fast paced project.
That's very exciting, Bruce. And I want to also talk about something that you are really passionate about, which is two exhibits opening this fall.
Yeah, we are very, very proud and happy to have formed a very solid working relationship that we're moving forward on now with the Chinook Indian Nation, working with Chairman Tony Johnson. We've had some great conversations with Chairman Johnson recently, and we are very pleased to announce we've got three major indigenous exhibits coming up over the next few years. And two of them focused exclusively on the Chinook Indian Nation, and then one that's much broader in scope. But the first exhibit will be working with the photographer Amarin White, who has been working closely with the Chinook Indian Nation for about 8 years now on an exhibit of photography, as well as a knowledge giver video that we'll be making with Chairman Johnson or whoever else from the tribe that he elects to put in his stead. And talking about the Chinook origin story and Chinook heritage and welcoming folks really to the Chinook Aboriginal lands that we inhabit, as well as welcome them to our Cedar and Sea exhibit that I'll talk about in a minute. And it's also a chance for Chairman Johnson to just talk about the current day issues facing the Chinook Indian Nation, like their fight for federal recognition as a tribe. And so that'll be our first Indigenous exhibit that will open hopefully in September. That's the goal. And then shortly after that, we'll open up Cedar and Sea, which is a major exhibit that is much broader geographically in scope, really covering the coastal Indigenous people of the Pacific Northwest from Alaska all the way down through Oregon to the California border. And we've been working very closely with members of a number of different tribes throughout that very broad region. It's very much not just a sort of cabinet full of artifact exhibit. It's very much about modern day life. We'll have a number of contemporary Indigenous artisans from various regions that are talking about, whether it's talking about salmon fishing or halibut fishing or basket making or various other aspects of their lives today, to show that, again, it's about, this is not a museum of dusty artifacts. This is a museum of present day life. And what is maritime heritage mean to us today? And then finally, we're also working with the Chinook Indian Nation on an exhibit to go in Mariners Hall when that opens in 2026. And there are a number of ideas we've talked about that are very exciting. Chairman Johnson was telling us about all the members of the tribe that used to work in the canneries here in Astoria. Members who have grandparents that were in the U.S. Life Saving Service, predecessor to the Coast Guard, working at the surf stations along the coast. Additionally, we've talked about possibly having a ocean-going canoe, a Chinook canoe, that would be on display in Mariners Hall for probably about 11 months of each year, but then 1 month a year would be taken out by the Chinook very ceremoniously and put in the water to go on canoe journey. And we think that would be really exciting for our guests to see actually a blank space on the floor in the museum with photos and video, sort of daily updates to where the canoe is today. So keeping it alive rather than just dusty artifacts, you know, connecting the past to the present.
Bruce, that is really incredible. I'm very excited about this. One thing I wish is that we had a place in Astoria where you could see a live salmon swimming. I mean, like a little aquarium tank, anything. How could people see salmon? Salmon created the Astoria, you know, the salmon canning capitals, all of that. So, and in Boise, Idaho, believe it or not, they have a little fish and wildlife. They have a little outdoor place, but they have they have some big kind of tanks. They look like natural, whatever they've done to them, but they're great. And you can see salmon. I mean, is there any chance we can see live salmon somewhere in Astoria?
Well, I don't know about that. I did do the tour at Bonneville Dam a number of years ago, and you can go to they have a big glass front to the fish ladder, and you can see the salmon swimming upstream there. We are planning to include in our education spaces in the new building a water tank to use for our remotely operated vehicle classes. I don't see salmon swimming in there because that would require some additional. I don't think that would work out too well, but we do intend to let people play in the water a little bit during our educational programs.
Oh, that's great. So, and maybe we should briefly touch on what's happening right now. You've got the current exhibits or the Crossing the Bar Perilous Passage, the Science of Storms. I mean, what we really want, though, is for not just all of our out-of-town visitors who make the Columbia River Maritime Museum a destination, a very important destination, but also local folks, because you're saying that you could use volunteers in all different faculty. I mean, you could use them to work on boats or to do things. So it's about being a member of the Maritime Museum. It's about volunteering. It's about becoming engaged with everything that's happening. So we have just a few minutes left. So Bruce, just take it away on what you'd like to talk about this now.
Yeah, of course, we are always looking for volunteers to be part of our team. So volunteer at crmm.org or just look us up on the website and call us. Lots of opportunities to, no matter what your skill set is, working on boats, doing administrative work, giving tours, we'd love to have you. And of course, we're always looking for financial support. So you can go to our website and donate to Mariners Hall. You can become a member. Membership really is a good deal if you live in this region, because you get free admission to the 3D films. As well as you can come as often as you like and go to the lightship as often as you like. But, you know, I just want to leave with the fact that we're really proud to be part of this community. We're proud to be part of what makes us special, provide programs for our community. We're proud to be part of all the great things that are happening in Astoria right now. We've got a new hospital coming online. We've got Oregon Film Museum planning a new facility. You've got an Astoria Public Library renovation. You've got a new Clatsop Behavioral Health facility going up. You've got a new Yakima Farmworkers Clinic. And, you know, collectively, all of these different projects, I really think a rising tide floats all boats. And all these projects are important and collectively will improve the quality of life for everybody. So we're just really proud to be part of that. And of course, if anyone would like to support us financially, please write that check for Mariners Hall or join as a member, or just come visit the museum and see what the new exhibits that you might not have seen, like a shipwreck that opened about 2 years ago.
And these current exhibits, we have a couple more minutes. So the current exhibits will be there until the Crossing the Bar Perilous Passage, the Science of Storms. How long will those be happening?
So those will be there for the foreseeable future. The mapping exhibit that we have, if you love old historic maps, we have a wonderful map collection. Come see it soon, because here in the next few months, that'll be going away. And we'll be creating a brand new gallery. And that new gallery, we're calling it just the Gallery of Opportunity for now, but that new gallery will be where we'll put our first ever major Chinook Indian Nation exhibit that'll open in September. And then adjacent to that is where we'll do the Cedar and Sea exhibit on the broader indigenous people of the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Lightship is always, you know, every day from 11 to 3, we try to have it open. And if you haven't seen the Lightship since it came back from dry dock, you really need to come see it, because it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, for those who don't know, just the last minute thing, what is the Lightship Columbia?
Yeah, so lightships were essentially floating lighthouses in places where you could not build a lighthouse because of the depth of the ocean. The U.S. Lighthouse Service put lightships, and the Columbia Lightship marked the entrance to the Columbia River Channel. This particular lightship, Columbia, was on station from 1951 to 1979. It was retired in 79 and has been part of the museum ever since. So it's an opportunity to go aboard what was a real working ship and just kind of see how get a sense of how it, what it was like to live on a ship and sleep in a bunk and see where the galley was. So it's a wonderful little part of our museum experience.
Well, Bruce, there's something for everyone at the Maritime Museum. I mean, again, the classes, I think you told me the watercolor class is full now or something, and that they're, yeah.
Yeah, my wife Linda and I took the watercolor class last year. It was absolutely wonderful. We have all sorts of adult education programs. So I encourage your listeners to go to our website and look at the education programs and sign up, because most of our classes do fill up pretty quickly. They're very popular, and they're usually small classes, which is great for that, you know, one-on-one interaction with your instructor. So whether it's youth education, adult education, the exhibits we have, the Columbia River Maritime Museum is trying to provide something for every member of our community.
All right, Bruce, thank you so much for making time to do this in your busy schedule. And again, I encourage everyone to become a member of the Columbia River Maritime Museum. The ripple effect is huge. We're, again, I love that also young people might be thinking of careers in the maritime industry, and you're part of that. So thank you so much, Bruce, for everything exciting about the Mariner's Hall project, and you can be involved with that. So give the Maritime Museum a call or go to their website. Thanks again, Bruce. I appreciate it. And I want to extend my gratitude to Viri, who has done all of the engineering for this program. Thank you so much, Viri. And my gratitude, as always, to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for Talk of Our Towns. This program airs each the first Thursday of each month. And I so appreciate all of you who support KMUN Coast Community Radio and Talk of Our Towns. Until we meet again, right now, actually, let's just take that second or two here and let's take a very deep healing breath together. It is so good for body, mind, and spirit. And then with gratitude, give yourself a loving pat on the back or a hug for being you, for being here now in the only moment that exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.